your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
Here we go, a Monday, Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem. Do it all over again. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line if you want to text in here. Phil texted me an hour ago. He's got to give me the lowdown on justifying looting and rioting. An NPR story he sent me that I don't think he read. So, Phil, you're going to have to go back and reread the story. NPR brought somebody on that talks essentially in defense of looting is what the headline says. And it's a conversation with an author that talks about looting and why it's justified. And Phil makes the argument. He goes, here you go, Rick. You agree with this author? Looting is only redistribution. Those who have immediate needs are justified in stealing from your house, he says. But that's not what the author is talking about at all. They're not talking about stealing from local businesses or local homes, or all homes are local, people's homes. So I suggest you maybe read slower. On today's show, I'm going to bring in a nurse from in town who is helping with what's being called, or what is called, Hearts in the Park tomorrow. It's just a kind of another way we're going to try to help the homeless community in Lacrosse. And she can describe all the things that are going down, how we can help, stuff like that. And after she's on, at the bottom half of the hour, I'm going to bring on Assemblyman Steve Doyle, and to talk about what went down or didn't go down in Madison today. We talked about this quite a bit on Friday with UW Lacrosse political science professor Dr. Anthony Chergosky, and the idea that the GOP-controlled legislature was just going to gavel in and gavel out of a special session called by Governor Tony Evers to address policing matters. And it's not like I believe there were 9 bills, and the governor didn't, it's not like they were thrown at the legislators, you know, in the past week because of Kenosha. Like, hey, we're going to have a special session Monday. Also, like a week, right? If they were bills. But first of all, like Evers or Democrats or whoever would have to, you know, bring these bills up. And then, so they would have had to have created them since the Kenosha shooting. And then given them to, you know, our government officials to read and calculate and then get ready to debate today. But that's not the case at all. These are bills that date back to June. It's August. It's September tomorrow. So they've had since June to look at them. And whether or not anyone agrees or disagrees with them, that would have been up for debate today. The legislature hasn't met since April, mid-April. Hasn't been in session. So what are they doing? I mean, maybe can we make the argument that we're not meeting in session because of virus? We could always make that argument. We can ask Steve Doyle that. Should write that down. Somebody text me that a little later. Are we not meeting in session? But we're also just, and then we are. Apparently a lot of the lawmakers weren't there anyway. So they gavel in and gavel out under 30 seconds. And it took, by law, that's what the AP story said. By law, they're required to meet for whatever, 30 seconds. It's kind of a silly law. Maybe they should have to meet for 5 minutes, maybe an hour. You have to sit there, even if it was something real quick, you have to sit there for an hour, talk about what you did or didn't do. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like what Chergosky and I talked about on Friday. Just can we bring some of this stuff up? If you want to denounce, you know, if lawmakers want to denounce the bills proposed, then denounce them. At least then we can hear it. It's a debate. That's what happens at government, isn't it? We'll go to the phones. Caller, who's this?
Yeah, this is Darren.
Hey, Darren, go ahead.
Yeah, this has just got to stop. At the very moment where we need leadership, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. Right now, the Republicans control the legislature in Wisconsin. They're doing a terrible, terrible job, and they're doing a terrible disservice to the people of Wisconsin. We need to have a honest, open dialogue about what's going on. And this abdication of their responsibility and duty, we have got to hold those Republicans accountable. Fitzgerald and whoever, they just need to be held accountable, because we need leadership. This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, okay, well, if you guys aren't going to debate this stuff, then, you know, maybe we should start thinking about voting some other people into these positions.
Yeah, and again, I would be saying the same thing if this was the Democrats' old legislature and they were abdicating their responsibility, not, you know, having these very important conversations. I get it. It's political. It's just easier to stand back and say, look what's happening to our state. Well, yeah, but you're in control of the legislature. This is happening under your watch. Trying to blame it all on Tony Evers. Well, Tony Evers can't do anything because he's hamstrung. If this was happening to Scott Walker, the Republicans would be totally up in arms. We need to have a debate. Let that debate happen. Let's have some good, honest dialogue about how we can not defund the police, but take off their plate things that probably shouldn't be on their plate to begin with. Let's look at a way to fund them more in line with what policing should be. And, of course, the best criminal justice system is the one that deters crime, not allows crime to happen. That's not it, but one that actually deters crime from happening. And that goes back to education, jobs, opportunity, obviously looking at one another in the light of equality. We can do this. We've got to come together, but we need leadership to help lead us to unite instead of this divisiveness. And so if they're not going to do it, get them the hell out of there, and let's get some people in there that are at least willing to reach across the aisle and get it done.
All right, Darren, thanks a lot for the call. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. And if they don't want to reach across the aisle, at least like meet in session and argue why you don't want to meet, you don't want to agree to whatever's being proposed by Evers in terms of police matters. Hey, like, I'm sure we could put these bills on the table and go, yeah, this one's good, that one's not. But I argue about this all the time. Like, we got to throw all these bills into one pile and vote yes or no on every one of them. And we're going to argue about it for how many weeks, when really we could just take them one at a time. Boom. Do this or not. Okay, next one. Get that out of here. Do this one or not. But we only meet for 30 seconds in our state legislature. We'll go back to the phones. I don't know who this is. Caller, who's this?
Yeah, it's Steve. I'd like to say that, you know, the Darren that just called in, like, wants to complain about the Republicans. Well, I'm going to complain about the Democrats, because Governor Tony Evers is playing politics. And if you want to talk about law and order, that 17-year-old kid that shot those two people and injured somebody else, why was it lawlessness that night? Why was Governor Evers not taking responsibility and creating law and order in his city and in his state, which he should be doing? That's part of his job. So I agree. We need to come together. But we also have a governor, a lieutenant governor, that is not taking responsibility either for keeping the pathway open for Republicans and Democrats to work together, especially when you have Governor Evers coming out saying, we don't want you to come to President Trump to come to Kenosha. Well, the presidents go to these areas that are stricken with killings.
What's gonna,
or shootings.
Steve,
or,
what's going to happen? Steve, what's going to happen when Trump comes to, what's going to happen when Trump comes to Kenosha?
What did Governor Evers do?
What's going to happen when Trump comes to Kenosha?
Why should that be that way, though? Why can't it be open dialogue? Why would you think that?
Well, I was trying to open the dialogue, but you didn't answer the question. One more call before we can take a break. Caller, who's this?
This is Mary.
Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say about the legislature and not staying long enough to vote on anything. Let's remember when the Democrats went to Illinois in order not to vote. At least the Republicans didn't flee to Illinois.
Well, a lot of the Republicans didn't show up. There was just a couple of there. But we could ask Steve Doyle about this. Yeah, it's definitely, like, that's awful. I don't remember why. We could ask Steve about that too. Hey, Steve, did you flee to Illinois? He'll be on at the bottom half of the hour. I got to take a break for news, and then we're going to come back and talk about Hearts in the Park event happening tomorrow. And we'll be back right here on Wisdom. Coughing into the mic. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. We started the show talking about the Republican-controlled legislature gaveling in and gaveling out of session to draw you all in to listen, to get on, you know, want to text in, want to call in, want to listen. And then we're going to bring Amanda Mullally in to talk about the homeless issue going on in Lacrosse and Hearts in the Park. So, Amanda, I've reeled all these people in for you. And now you have everybody's ears. You could tell us what's going on tomorrow at the Salvation Army.
Well, tomorrow we are hosting the event from 11 to 2, and we are promoting getting housing, and that is by raising funds and getting supplies that we can get to our homeless population here in our community.
Yeah, and this is a very important time for the homeless population as we see more and more people congregating at Cameron Park. We've talked about the issue of police giving tickets out there. The police gave 4 tickets all of last year to people camping in the park. This year, it's, you know, there was a couple week stretch there where they had given over 50 tickets. And, you know, it's now we're rolling into September. In a couple of months, it's going to be really cold out. And if we can get homeless people into shelter, into homes, you know, back into the workforce, even that's going to be the most important thing. And this is what this is kind of the starting point, or one of the starting points here tomorrow in the parking lot and in the Salvation Army building, right?
Correct. Outside, there will be a donation table where people can drive up and they can bring drop off supplies. There will be a food truck to provide lunches. We'll have hygiene bags for the homeless community. We'll also be providing inside vital checks, haircuts. There will be physicians available to discuss any health care concerns. There will be wound care available. There will also be AODA counselors, housing representatives, health insurance representatives, and phone representatives, along with spiritual care available. So we're trying to bring together as many resources in one spot to provide the best outcome and hopefully get the individuals that want to move on and get this help where they need to be.
Yeah, and that's an issue I've talked about with a couple of people, the idea that you know, some homeless people don't want help, but this is going to be one of them things where, hey, the help is here. If you want it, come get it. How do you get the word? Like, obviously, we're getting the word out to listeners, and you know, I'm guessing some homeless people might be listening to the show on their phones or on the radio or something. But you know, a lot of us probably are well off. So, what would you expect? You talked about a drive through and dropping stuff off. What would be the most needed thing for people to, you know, obviously cash works, but other things that people could drop off at the Salvation Army tomorrow between 11 and 2?
Foot powder, hygiene care. You got to think about women's hygiene supplies, you know, socks, blankets. These donations are going to the Salvation Catholic Charity. They're going to multiple places that will need all of these resources come winter, really, when it gets cold. And they are working at half capacity due to COVID. And they're also receiving less supplies at this time. So it's more important than ever to make sure that we are getting this population what they need and the entities that are trying to help them. Also,
we're speaking with Amanda Mullally. She's a nurse in town, and I think it was a couple of you nurses. I think you read some articles, you saw the homeless issue kind of growing, and you know, different issues with the homeless, whether it was policing or just the fact that more are congregating at Cameron Park, and there's just seems to be more. Although I brought on the Salvation Army, and they said that there might just be more at certain locations. There might actually not be more homeless this year than as compared to last, but you know, how long did it take you to kind of organize this, and how many of you are there, and then the obviously the Salvation Army came through for you as well?
Yes, the Salvation Army provides youth services 365 days a year. So this isn't anything outside of their realm, and they actually have the capacity to have the foot care station, to have a haircut station. As far as there was two nurses who really got inspired by the article and started to reach out to the unit that we work on, because we do work with a lot of the homeless population on this unit. So we do get to know them in that capacity, and we do see their wounds. We do see what's kind of really lacking as far as, you know, providing dignity and care. And after that, there's so many volunteers that came together very quickly, like in a matter of 2 weeks. It was really just launched, and there was no looking back.
Now, like I said, this is a good way to get the word out to everyone like me and you. But how do you get the word out to the homeless people that, you know, they're probably not listening on Facebook Live or over the radio. So you kind of got to go find them and tell them, hey, tomorrow, get out here, come over to the Salvation Army. It's going to be a lot of good things happening.
So Katie and Kaylee, who are like the two nurses who were first inspired by this Tribune article, last Friday, they were out in the park and went by the river in the woods and promoted it. And then we also have other individuals who kind of are out there doing the footwork every single day with these individuals who have been promoting it the last couple weeks also, by giving them either flyers and just letting them know that this is occurring. And there's been really great, they're grateful and they're looking forward to this event.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine what you let a couple of homeless people know that this thing is going down tomorrow at the Salvation Army, and the word probably spreads within the homeless population as well. I'm guessing.
Well, they all live very close together. You're going to have lunch together at the Salvation Army. You may be going to the Place of Grace and picking up, you know, your Tuesday food donations. So this is a very close community in that aspect.
How difficult or how much planning did it take to get this going? You had to bring a lot of different entities together to meet during this time. Obviously, you had to find some barbers. You had to find some counselors who were willing to donate their time as well. Unless I'm guessing the Salvation Army had some a hand in this, but you also got like the Cooley Collaborative and Homelessness in on this and Cooley Cap, right?
Correct. Yep. And that actually wasn't really hard to pull in people once we started discussing it and got the word out that this is an event that we wanted to promote and make happen. A lot of people volunteered. And then from that, you know, they would suggest a name. You'd reach out to them and they were on board and you would just kind of keep going and find a lot of the resources that way.
Do you have any plans? I know it hasn't happened yet and you'll see what the turnout is like tomorrow and how everything goes. But, you know, this is something that maybe you could do, you know, once a month, I think. Do you have any plans on just continuing it? Hey, you know, maybe we should do it every end of the month, the last day of the month, you know, until it's too cold to be outside and doing that stuff.
Absolutely. There are so many ways to give back, and there were more ideas than we could actually have at this one event. Because there's so many different ways you can help the homeless population along with the larger, you know, like the Salvation Army and Catholic Charities and the Warming Center and the Place of Grace, that we couldn't even house it all at one time. It just would have been too large, especially with COVID and trying to keep our PPE precautions. So our plan is to either do at least twice a year, have a really large event like this, but internally with our own unit, there's enough members there who would like to do blanket drives and continue to support in any way we can, you know, cooking a meal, serving. There's just so many different ways you can serve.
All right. We're speaking with Amanda Mullally. She's one of the organizers of Hearts in the Park. It takes place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you guys have anything you can drop off, you know, cleaning supplies for personal cleaning, personal hygiene supplies, food donations, right? Anything like that, or monetary donations, right? All that stuff works, right, Amanda?
Correct. You can go to the Salvation Army parking lot, and that's right on State and 8th Street, and there will just be a drive-up area where you can come up and just hand off whatever you want to us to take, and we'll, you know, take care of it after that.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us and letting us know what's going on.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. All right. That was Amanda Mullally. She's a nurse here. She's lived in La Crosse the last 20 years, and it's pretty cool to see a bunch of nurses get together and organize something in 2 weeks, and a lot of entities involved in what's going on at the Salvation Army tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So get out there if you want to help. All right, we're going to take a break here. Scott's Comment and News coming up. I'm going to call Steve Doyle, and we could see what trouble we can get him into. We'll be back after this with him. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line if anyone wants to. I know there's a bunch of texts I haven't gotten to yet, and I won't get to them at this minute because Assemblyman Steve Doyle is on the air with us. Thanks, Steve, for joining us. Maybe to answer some questions or put some clarity onto what exactly happened, at least in the Assembly. Were you there in Madison, or did you just not go because you knew it was going to be a 30-second session?
Well, thanks for inviting me on the show. And yes, I was there. I did. I got up at 4:45 this morning, did the chores, hopped in my car, drove to Madison, and got back about an hour ago.
Okay, what do chores entail? What kind of chores did you have to do at 5 in the morning? Let's get to that first.
Well, I had to feed the horse and alpacas and goats.
Okay, well, sounds like you should invite me over. I want to see all these animals.
You're welcome to come over, and I'll even let you help with the chores.
Oh, yeah, right. Can we do them not at 5? All right, so I think we talked about this last week Friday with UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky, the idea that he kind of predicted, and I think a lot of people predicted, that this was going to be the same thing that happened in November when it was gun legislation. But when we gavel into a session, we go into session, what could we expect if we weren't going to just gavel out right away? What could we expect happen? There were 9 bills on policing policies up for debate, right? Would we just debate these, and what would happen?
Well, yeah, and I don't think we were particularly surprised that we didn't get to debate them, since the Republicans hadn't called any committee meetings to talk about them ahead of time. You know, although it could be pulled directly from the committee, and we could have had a debate today if the Republican leadership had wanted to do that. So, I mean, in what I'll call a normal situation, what would happen is, we would get called in and we would go through the bills, one at a time and debate and vote on them. And that's the really frustrating thing is some of these bills, I will agree, are controversial, and the Republicans aren't going to support them. But there's other ones that really aren't particularly controversial, and two that I would mention in particular. There's one that provides for $1 million grant program to investigate best practices around the state. So, in other words, I think we do things pretty well in La Crosse, for example. Are there some things that we do here that they're not doing in other areas that other parts of the state could learn from? So that's one that I think is pretty non-controversial. And the second one is to provide 8 hours of training per year on de-escalation techniques. Now, those are things that many officers, probably most if not all officers, at some point have had some of that training. But, I'm a lawyer, and we're required to do a certain number of hours of training every year on things that, new techniques, refreshers on things that we've learned and so forth. Everybody can learn, from ongoing training. So, again, not controversial, not pointing fingers at anybody. To me, those are some things that, why don't we just do that to show that at least that we're serious about this issue? And one of the things I would point out is among the groups that have said, yes, we think there should be a special session, we're in favor of a special session, is the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. So this is not Democrats versus Republicans. I mean, the police association, statewide police association, says we think that this issue should be discussed. Because right now, they're getting kind of a black eye, and they want to have a chance to say, hey, here's our side of the story, and I support, their ability to do that.
Could the police association just go, hey, Wisconsin police officers, this is a new rule, as opposed to having to go through the state government? Could the police association just go, this is a new rule we're, invoking upon the entire state?
Well,
the eight-hour training.
They don't actually make the rules. The individual agencies make the rules, as do the there's a labor or a policing standards board that is in charge of some of that too. You know, so it's a little bit more complicated than them kind of unilaterally doing things. But the important part of what could have happened today would be to discuss, you know, to start that debate, to discuss at least some of the non-controversial things. I am not opposed to Speaker Voss's suggestion to create a study committee. I've been on a couple of study committees. In fact, I led one of the study committees on foster care that, about 10 or so bills passed unanimously, and we made some significant changes in law in that regard. So things in a positive nature can happen with study committees. But also, as everybody knows, sometimes you use committees just to bury things and, forget about them and you move on to the next thing. So we didn't want that to happen.
We're speaking with Assemblyman Steve Doyle here, represents the La Crosse area. The idea of having Voss proposing that, I mean, these bills were proposed in June. Why didn't Voss do that back in June amid the George Floyd, flare-up?
I think you should ask him that question. I don't know the answer to it.
Right, now that it happens in his state, right? Like, now that a police officer is Minneapolis, it's not going to happen here. Well, now it's happened here. You mentioned non-controversial bills that we could take up, and what Trigoski at UWL and I talked about is the idea that we got to throw all these bills into one package and then try to get everyone to agree on one package when that's stupid and we're just going to argue about it for weeks and weeks instead of just, we could take them one at a time. But what are some of the give me a controversial bill and what would be the process there? If we're going to be in session, there's a controversial bill, let's say Republicans don't want it, Democrats would want it. What would happen there and what would be one of these bills?
Well, one that's gotten a lot of attention across the country, there's a bill, not just in Wisconsin, but there is a bill here in Wisconsin to prohibit the use of chokeholds. And in La Crosse, by the way, I actually met with police officers over the last several days and tried to get their perspective, and that I really appreciate their sharing their time and their expertise with me. Chokeholds in the La Crosse area have been prohibited by local rules for, I think it's like 8 years or so. So it's not an issue here, but in some areas that can be controversial if you want to eliminate them. So let's say that was the issue that was going through the legislature. And, if the Republicans were opposed to eliminating chokeholds, that bill would never see the light of day. I mean, it may have a public hearing in committee, but not likely a vote, and certainly wouldn't get to the floor. But if there was one where there was some support, a bill that had some support among Republicans but not Democrats, that bill would get to the floor. And that's just by virtue of the majority party, whichever one it happens to be, gets to have their thing brought to the floor. So we would debate that. Each side could make their point, and chips fall where they may, and it goes then over to the other house if it passes. But the most important part of the whole process is the light of day. That these bills actually, this issue gets discussed. People have a chance to weigh in on it, pro and con, rather than what you see in social media and rumors and allegations and all those things. Let's just talk about these issues instead of it being Democrats versus Republicans. I mean, people rightfully have varying opinions on this issue, and I respect both sides of it. I've heard both sides of it. But what we're not doing is giving it the credibility that you get by having it in a forum such as the legislative process.
Right, we're speaking with Steve Doyle, represents the area and the assembly here in La Crosse. Chokehold sounds like something that you use as a scapegoat. That doesn't sound very controversial. Is it really? Is there one more controversial than that? Chokeholds, I feel like we could all agree we can ban chokeholds. Like, really? Republicans are like, no way, chokeholds,
Well, there's another one that I think could be controversial, which is to eliminate no-knock warrants. Right now, a judge can issue a warrant where the police have the right to go to a house and essentially break down the door without announcing who they are. In talking with some police officers recently, they pointed out that in the La Crosse area, probably 10, 20 years ago, most of the warrants were no-knock warrants. Today, very, very few warrants are issued as no-knock warrants. So again, La Crosse already does the best practices, but, there are, I personally think there are some reasons why you would want to have a no-knock warrant. I think it could be dangerous for a police officer to you know, have to knock on the door and expect the person to answer the door without a gun in their hand and whatever, or destroying evidence and so forth. So I think that's an issue that you're going to see some pretty vigorous debate on both sides.
Yeah.
And again, both sides have good arguments on that. And, you know, my initial thought on that issue was I had some problems with eliminating it, but then I talked to some other people who said, well, you know, here's the danger of having, you know, police just show up and break through. And, you know, we've had examples across the country where police went to the wrong house and, you know, there was a death that ensued as a result of that. So, you know, there's arguments on both sides, and what's not happening is we're not talking them out.
Yeah, the Breonna Taylor situation is the one I think that's got most headlines. The idea right. that they went to the wrong house and then killed the person, and then that person that they were looking for was actually in police custody. So
yeah,
like just
you know, so I mean, you can come up with examples of where a no-knock warrant could be a good thing, or examples where it could be a bad thing.
Yeah,
Again, I respect both sides on that issue. What I don't respect is the fact that we're not allowed to have a debate on it.
Yeah, it'd be great to get everyone's opinion in session. I don't know if there's a difference in getting it in session or going, we got to individually get every legislator, you know, every assembly person on the record, you know, as a media group. I got to go call every one of you to get, if we voted on something like that, but, you know, no-knock warrants, yes or no, and then everyone voted on it, then we would know. But that's not how that goes anyway either, right? We're packaging these all into one, I don't know if you call it an omnibus bill, but one big bill, right?
It could be either way. You know, the nine bills that the governor asked the legislature to consider could be voted on, nine separate votes, or could be put into one package or multiple packages. It just depends upon how the legislature wants to, you know, to do that part of the process. You know, sometimes, you know, for example, the state budget has everything from soup to nuts in it, and is all one bill, obviously. But, you know, frequently, even if we have a package, it's multiple votes.
Okay. Yeah, nine bills doesn't seem that heavy either. I feel like you could have got into session and cherry-picked each one. It cherry-picked a couple of them at least, but we didn't even do that. We can't do that in 30 seconds, ma'am. I think if we did, we could roll through nine bills real quick in 30 seconds and just yes or no. You'd have to read them fast.
Well, you could, but, you know, we get paid to go to Madison and vote so that we then go back to our constituents and say, here's how we voted, and they decide if we made the right choice or the wrong choice. And, if we go and it takes us, you know, hours and hours and hours or days and days to get through the debate and have a vote on each individual bill, that's what we get paid for. You know, I'm not going to complain about that.
Yeah, and the one of the questions I had, you haven't met since mid-April, and is that because of the pandemic and you're doing a lot of this stuff virtually? I don't know, when they say meet in session, quote-unquote, I don't know if it counts. You have to be literally in Madison to meet. Why haven't we met as a legislature since mid-April?
Well, there are two things. One is we've had one virtual session, and that was because of the pandemic. The other thing is we're not in regular session at this point because this is an election year. So typically we'll go through the spring and then break in the summer, you know, for the elections, and then the new session starts in January. This year we broke earlier than normal, and you know, the fact that the governor called the special session is the only reason that we were hoping to meet today. Otherwise, today, you know, would not have been a regular day. We, you know, we wouldn't be going back until January. But there is nothing to say that we can't go into extraordinary session, which is called by the legislature, or special session is called by the governor. You know, the Speaker of the Assembly right now could say, I want people in next week, and we're going to discuss issues A, B, and C.
Okay, you said you broke earlier than normal this year. I feel like of all the years that we need government to be doing stuff for its population, a pandemic year where we've lost a lot of jobs, breaking earlier than normal seems a little odd to me. Why would you do that?
Well, you know, in fact, along those lines, we lost $25 million of federal aid for the coronavirus because the legislature refused to meet. Until, you know, that was when we had our virtual session, and, you know, we finally got around to approving the package of bills relating to accepting federal aid and so forth. Had we done that earlier, we wouldn't have lost that money. I don't think there is a valid reason why we have not been meeting. It's what the people elected us to do. You know, if we're not willing to show up in Madison, find a different job. I was there today, and some of my colleagues were there, but we left empty-handed.
You guys are getting paid a salary. You're a full-time legislature. I think Minnesota is part-time. I live in Minnesota, so I think about this stuff a little bit. What if we paid you guys by the hour, where you had to punch a clock? Would you meet a little bit more then, you think?
Not a bad idea. I think that having some incentive to actually, show up for work makes sense. I can't think of any other job where you get paid even if you don't show up for work.
Yeah, I know a lot of the times when you say you're not in Madison, you're not meeting in session, it's because you're back home where you represent these people and you're talking with these people. But we could also have you punch in while you're talking with these people too. Like when you're at your office in Onalaska or La Crosse or whatever, and then, you're doing work from home. We understand that.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that all or most of my colleagues are working in their district. They are doing things that are important. And, for me, talking with my staff in Madison today, we have dealt with over 170 cases of people contacting us who are having problems getting their unemployment compensation. I mean, it's 170 people that we are trying to help, and we are working diligently to process, get those cases through the process. So things are going on, but the other, we're doing half of the job. There's the other half of the job, which says you should be in Madison at, committee meetings or on the floor of the legislature taking votes and debating issues and so forth. And we can't do that unilaterally. We have to be called into session. I showed up today. I was happy to do whatever needed to be done. There was nothing to do in terms of a vote, however.
We're speaking with Assemblyman Steve Doyle. Okay, so the session today, obviously, it's the second time since November. Republicans gavel in and gavel out of session without talking. Essentially a 30-second session. I did get a couple of texts that said, hey, Democrats did this. They fled the state. They fled to Illinois not to vote on Act 10. So it's a little bit of a different strategy. Can you talk about that a little bit, which happened, a decade ago? But what happened there?
Yeah, so that was during the Act 10 debate, and it was the members of the state Senate left so that the Senate would not be able to get a quorum. So that was a strategy that they adopted that was very controversial. People still remind me of that today, and my response to that is two things. Number one, I've never been in the Senate, and number two, I wasn't even in the Assembly at that point. I was county board chair and not having been elected to the legislature yet. So, that's something that the Democrats did as a strategy, rightly or wrongly. People can have their opinion on that. With the Republicans today saying we're not going to go into session to vote on the governor's proposed bills is a legislative strategy. They have a right to do that. We can't stop them, but we can certainly criticize them just like they criticized the Democrats for the strategy that they followed.
Sure.
And then the voters ultimately decide, who they think was right and who they think was wrong.
All right. We're speaking with Assemblyman Steve Doyle. He's on the ballot this year. I wrote it down now, but now I forgot. Now I can't find. Who are you going against this year?
I have a Republican opponent, Kevin Hoyer, and an independent, Leroy Brown.
Okay, so right away, I just bad Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole man town. How are you going to beat this guy?
I have no comment on that. It'll just get me in trouble.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. That was Steve Doyle. He's in the State Assembly here in Wisconsin. We got to take a quick break. We'll wrap up after this on Wisdom. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. Just a couple minutes here, wrapping up Monday. Day one's over. Four more to go. For no reason. Till the weekend. I got a couple of texts here. Thanks to Steve Doyle and Amanda Mullally for joining us. Hearts in the Park tomorrow at Salvation Army, 11 to 2. Get over there. Bring some stuff to donate. $20 bill or something. Phil texted in, the loggers players stay with families. They got on their own. Homeless should stay with concerned families until they get on their own. I think the loggers organize that. So, Phil, if you want to organize that, feel free. We talked about the homeless situation with the Hearts in the Park tomorrow going on. Steve Doyle joining us, talking about the 32nd session in the Wisconsin State Legislature today. Johnny texted in, thanks for having Steve Doyle on again as 90% voting Republican. As a 90% voting Republican person, Steve is one of the few Democrats that I vote for. I would call you a traitor, Johnny. I can't believe you would dare vote for a Democrat while you're voting Republican. Unbelievable. Libertarian guy texted in, not a single one of those nine bills described by Doyle. I believe he described three of them. One pretty non-controversial. None of them seemed all that controversial, but Libertarian guy goes, none of the bills, how about this? None of the bills described by Doyle would solve the problem, the George Floyd problem it would solve. Those bills were created after the George Floyd situation, Libertarian guy. But he says, but at least Republicans and Democrats would feel like they're doing something. They would feel like that, but they're not doing something because the session was 30 seconds long. So the Republicans decided to hold a 30-second long session. And if it was the Democrats and they didn't want to vote on the bills, would they flee the state? I don't know. Another texter said, if there is an inordinate amount of Libertarian guy, if there's an inordinate amount of black people who are being shot by police, perhaps there's an inordinate amount of black people who are resisting arrest. But resisting arrest would not result in death. But we could study that, I guess. But those people are mad they're getting killed. And last texter, the Republicans aren't going to have an open session because they want to know what the opinions are, the options are for solving the problem. Most level-headed, common-sense people see this as a problem with people not cooperating with police. Again, they're not getting killed. All right, that's going to do it for today. Thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow, what do we got on? I'm going to bring Ted Wilson from Viterbo on to talk about mosquitoes one of these days. Perhaps we'll do that tomorrow. That'll be a fun show if we can get that going. But this Kenosha thing isn't going well.